We're back for the Parish of the Patriots, number 336. I'm glad you're sticking it with. I'm glad to have you back. We have a fun discussion here. If you are new, we do have a Christian-specific segment. That's very roughly towards the middle of the show. Usually comes in a little early. I encourage you to stick around for it. It is targeted for people who are already Christian believers. So if you way back in the basics or you're not a believer at all, you may not get anything out of it, but you do have the option of listening to it. I'd encourage you to do so. But either way, it is set out separate, so you don't have to if you don't want to. If you do get something out of the show, don't be shy. Pay those tithes. We got snail mail. You just look on the description page for the Parish of the Patriots. Read through the description that probably nobody actually reads and go to the bottom. I got the snail mail address there. So the Bitcoin addresses are spams. I say this every week, but every once in a while, somebody will email and they'll be like, you know, how do I do this cryptocurrency? I'm like, what do you mean? I want to send you some Bitcoin. I don't have a Bitcoin address up here, y'all. Y'all going to have to chill with all that. Anyway, I got the snail mail. Drop something in there. Much appreciated. And with that, we'll do the listener supporter mailbag. I just have one, and there's no note here, but I'll say black. I got it, black. I appreciate it. You know who you are. I always protect y'all's anonymity as best I can, so that is very much appreciated, and that gets us through the listener supporter mailbag, possibly. Well, no, because record time are the weeks that I don't have any don't have anything in the listener supporter mailbag. So, yeah, we whipped through that. We just whipped through it very quickly. That crazy stuff. I saw a story. I saw a video the other day, and this guy. You know, I see things and the story itself, I either find funny or interesting or whatever. And then this winds up leading me. This is the way my brain works. I wind up thinking about the whys and the wherefores and try to see how things fit into the picture. And I was thinking about how they always stumble. You can spot these liars because they always stumble when you get to the why. When you hit them with the why, and their response is a lie. You don't need to get into the wherefores of whatever the topic is. You just need to know they're lying. And that should be enough. Don't do it. I saw a video the other day. And somewhere up in Yankee land, Bill Gates has an outfit running. It's always these same people. Isn't it funny? You can look at these people. I'm going to get a little off on a tangent already. We're 2-3 minutes in and I'm off on the first tangent. But like, you look at them in the face. One of the biggest fallacies I see would be that old saying, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You may not understand the full contents of the book. True. But if you pick up a book, like you pick up a Bible, even if you're not a Christian believer, if you somebody walks in, like if you go stay at a motel and you open the drawer and there's a Bible that the Gideons left in there. I think that's the name. People always left the Bibles in the motels. I don't know if they still do that. But you open the drawer and you see a Bible. You don't have to pick it up and go, I wonder what this is. You look at it, you instantly recognize it's a Bible. If you were visiting somebody's house and you walked around their study with like they're like, I'll go make us some coffee. And you're like, all right. And you walking around and they got their desk sitting there. And, you know, you're not being nosy, but you're just looking around. And they got some books there. And so you look down, they got a big book on their desk. And you're looking on the cover of it. It's got Baphomet or something on it, you know, or a graphic illustration of child sacrifice to Baal. You're not going to have to open the book to be like, man, this is some demonic shit this guy's into. You judge it by its cover. Now, you may not know all the contents. In that case, you ain't going to want to know all the contents. But you got a pretty good idea. You look at George Soros, Bill Gates. I'll stick with Bill Gates. You look at this guy. And I... just looking at the cover, it's the same thing. Bill Gates be like, hey, yeah, I got some free time. If you and the wife want to take off, you can leave your kids with me. I'll take them to my special underground playground. You'd be like, no, Bill, we're good. Because you look at him in the face, you're like, this is an evil dude. This guy may have a demon. I don't know. Maybe he is a demon. Hell, I don't know. But I can look at his face and be like, not trustworthy. Now, George Soros, and I think George Soros is dead. They just ain't telling us, by the way. George Soros, he just looked like a cartoon. Same with Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. These people look like literal movie villains. Just can't judge a book by its color. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I can. I may not know all the contents. Probably don't want to know. Cartoon villain looking suckers. Anyway, back to the story. I saw this video in Up Yankee Land. Bill Gates back in this thing. And they're making butter in a lab. You spend how much do you spend for butter? I think the last time I had to buy butter, which is pretty regular because I don't use anything else hardly. I cook with butter. I use butter. I remember when I was a kid, margarine was the thing. Because it's healthier. It's one molecule away from plastic. And they're like, oh no, this is healthy. I was a little kid. I should have started getting that early on skepticism of what they tell us. What the experts. They wonder why the experts don't got no credibility. Because I remember when the experts told us margarine was way more healthy than that awful butter. How can you eat something from a cow's udder? I'm so tempted to start trying to get on a Dr. Seuss rap rhyme. But we're not. Butter is just horrible. We've got something way better. We made it out of vegetable oil. Have some margarine. We even threw some artificial flavor in there to make it taste more like butter. Anyway, I bought a brick of butter last night. I think it was about $5. You know, $4 or $5. I don't know if you live in California or Connecticut. It probably costs $35. I don't know, man. Y'all living in some different world than me. But it's like $5. There's not a crisis. Praise God that y'all, I haven't gone to the grocery store and been like counting my pennies up in my pocket. If I have enough money to buy butter, I can buy butter. I might can't buy a steak, but I can buy butter. Anyway, apparently there's a butter crisis. Bill Gates spending all this money. They in this lab. They got a factory and it looks like a factory. They're walking through this factory. This news reporter's walking through the factory with this annoying woman. And it literally looks like a factory. It looks like if you didn't know the context and somebody could say, I don't know, they're making plastic Tupperware there, you would, okay. And they're making what I would call Franken butter here. Look at this. And they have this stick of this shit. And they're like, see, it looks just like butter. And I'm looking at it in the video and I'm like, no, it don't. Aside from its yellow and its shape, it looks like something else. I can't believe it's not butter. I can. And this bitch talking about, oh yeah, this is just like butter. We manufacturing it here because all butter is hydrocarbons and some other shit. Butter. Fake lab grown butter. I would just say from the get go, I'm not eating that shit. Why? This leads us to the why. You? Why have you spent money, set up a factory to make butter? There's not a butter shortage and nobody's complaining about actual butter. And when the annoying woman spokesperson, whatever the hell it is, when basically the reporter was like, you know, wow, why are y'all doing this? Then this gets back to my original point of the why. You always listen for their answer, because if it's an obvious lie, then you don't need to know. You know, you don't need to go off into, is the Franken butter actually bad for you? Is this part of the depopulation? All you need to know is you need to stay away from it. As I said, I'm not eating that shit. That's all you need to know. I'm not eating that shit. When the annoying woman spokesperson gets asked, why are y'all making Franken butter? Why has Bill Gates spent umpteen $1,000,000 to make a factory to make butter? Her answer was climate change. I kid you not. You can't make this stuff up. Climate change. You know, carbon dioxide is not a pollutant. Climate change is a lie. I'm just going to tell it like it is. It is not controversial in this audience. I get so tired, but nobody will say it in the public sphere. You know what? I'll say it. It's a safe audience to say. No one here listening going, oh, you don't believe in man-made climate change, Grandpa. That's crazy. No, none of y'all saying that shit. I know soy jacks in the audience. At least I hope not. I remember being in like second grade and we learning about how plants breathe carbon dioxide. It's part of that cycle of life. I remember the illustration. There was a tree and then an arrow where it's producing oxygen, which does all of this. And then people and animals, we breathe the oxygen in and the arrow comes down to the people and the animals. And then we breathe out the carbon dioxide and the arrow goes back up to the tree. Not anymore. Now the carbon dioxide is plotting to kill us all. So when you see a lie answer, when the why is always a bullshit, when you're any time, climate change is one of those, I don't have to think any further. You know, I like to think it's just part of the way I do. I enjoy it. I enjoy pondering things and looking at it from different angles. But when the why is something like climate change, I can automatically just rubber stamp that and throw it in the shitter. It's bullshit. Climate change. Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know where they're going with Frankenbutter. I don't care. I know I'm not eating that shit because I know they're lying. So it can't be good. Because if the answer was something good, if they were really doing something humanitarian, again, you can look at Bill Gates' face and be like, I wouldn't trust this guy. You know, if I went over to this guy's house and I didn't know who he was and he would be like, hey, stay for supper. I'm cooking a pot of stew and I'd be looking at his face and being like, there could be chopped up people in that sucker. I ain't eating. No, man, I'm good. I'm going to grab something on the way home. I already ate. I'm not going to eat your mystery meat people stew or some shit because I'd be looking at that guy's face and be like, he got Jeffrey Dahmer down in the basement working on his personal butcher shop or some shit. Not going to do it. I don't have to. I don't have to even consider the Frankenbutter. If your why that you have to give me is climate change. Because if it was something good, if there was really an honest good reason. As you know, we have a terrible butter shortage. People are dropping like flies from the butter. So we've come up with a healthy alternative. Something. When their go-to answer is climate change, they're lying. I'm not eating that. I got to do it. These people, you know, they all these rich people like that, these evil rich people that you just look at their face. And they're like a cartoon villain or some shit. You know, Lex Luthor looked like a normal dude compared to Bill Gates or George Soros, Klaus Schwab. Lex Luthor be cool. Lex always looked like some dude that you just hang out with, you know. Like if I went over to Lex Luthor's house and he was like, hey, you want a beer? We'll sit out on the patio and talk about world domination. I'd be like, sure, Lex, what do you got? Unless it's one of them foo-foo craft beers. I ain't drinking that shit. And that better be real. But Lex Luthor would have had real butter in his fridge. Like if you were like, Lex was like, go ahead and go get your beer out of the fridge and you crack it open. Lex Luthor going to have Coors Light or something and then something normal in his beer. And then you look over in the door in the butter drawer. They're going to be a brick of real butter. Lex Luthor ain't eating no Bill Gates Frankenbutter. I can tell you that. Go hang out with Lex on the patio. Talk about world domination. Lex would be like, you know who created Superman, right? Lex Luthor be sitting on the patio dropping red pills. He'd be like, I didn't know. Everything comes back to the same thing, doesn't it, Lex? Would not hang around with Klaus Schwab. Be like, you want to hang around? Be like, I'm not into child sacrifice. That's why everybody comes up with these things. And they always say, it obviously pisses them off. People talking about, you know, being ruled over by literal satanic child murderers. They're like, why do they think that of us? Have the media go out and debunk that one more time. Everybody thinks that by looking at you, dude. Klaus Schwab be like, would you like to come and see what I have in my basement? Don't think I will, Klaus. In fact, if you come any closer, I may stab you. I'm not going to your basement with you. I'm big funny. I'm not threatening to stab Klaus Schwab. Have you noticed, talking about watching video stuff, that is a bit of a side note, but have you noticed how ridiculous YouTube is? It was already ridiculous, and it's gotten even more ridiculous. Like, people can't say COVID now or the pandemic. Like, you watch the content creators, and if something comes up and they have to talk about, you know, 2020 or something, and they be like, well, you know, back in 2020, we had there was something going on, and, it really made it hard on the economy. Because if they say COVID, they get banned. They get their video taken down. Another version of the answer being a lie. They don't want you talking about it because they know it's a lie. They want you talking about the lie. Anyway, talking about these cartoon evil people. Back on this. Back on the cartoon villains. Not Lex Luthor. He's probably a cool dude. But, you know, they always see super rich people, you know. And they literally, I think they look like that. They literally have made a deal with the devil. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know the process. I was never offered. Praise God for that. But somewhere along the line, I think it's a step-by-step thing. You know, kind of like the Masons, you know, they have different degrees. Because you don't just throw somebody right up at there at the top because they'd be like freaking out. You have to work them in. You know, first, you want to get to level 3. You got to do this. And you'd be like, oh, well, it pays. You're going to get this much money or whatever. And they'd be like, okay, I'll go ahead and do it. And then the next thing going to be a little more bad. And then when you reach the Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates level, I don't know, you know, that's where people start throwing out things like satanic child sacrifice because to get to that level. And it's fool's bargain. Don't ever be jealous of these assholes. Don't. You know, you don't just sit around and be like, man, I wish I had his money. You don't want nothing to do with that guy because you don't know what he had to do to get that money. If you think he just so happened to invent Microsoft or Klaus Schwab doing what he did, no. They got that as part of the deal, and it's not theirs. It was funny. You notice all those people are into some sort of weird transhumanism. You know why that is? Because they made a deal with the devil, and now they all getting old, and the bill's coming due. They don't want to pay their bill. Devil's sitting there going, I've held up my end of the bargain, about time to collect. And they don't. They all obsessed with transferring their consciousness into a computer or something. Drink some more baby's blood. I don't know what the hell all they do. I don't want to know. Anything but pay the bill. And it's coming. They all into that transhumanism because they're going to lose everything they got. One of the interesting things, when you see these rich, famous people, it's a celebrity of some sort or one of these, you know, cartoon villain guys that happen to be billionaires, they got a dime. Because it, the way I always like to explain it is when you understand the nature of usury, there's always more, if you want to be more technical, fractional reserve banking, which is just another form of usury. Because of the way it works, there's always more money owed than there is in existence. This is the way when people are being simplistic talking about they just printing money. They're loaning money. There's always more money owed than there is in existence. So do you know what that means? That means the money will always inevitably return to those who created it. Why? It's loaned into existence. Okay. That's the way. They don't print money and drop it in you. They don't print money. They loan money. That's the way the money goes into circulation. I'm not an expert on this, but I do understand these basics. The government doesn't print money and it just suddenly exists. The Federal Reserve loans it. That's the way they get it into circulation. They loan the money. So they are the money creators. If the money is created not by printing it, but it's created through loans, through debt, that's the way it gets into circulation. So those who loan the money, who are the creators, they create the money at the very top. I'm not talking about your local banker. I'm talking about where they get the money from. So those that create the money through the loans, it's created through loans. And because the nature of the system is that there's always more money owed than exists, then that means inevitably, because debts have to be paid back, right? So inevitably, any money they create is going to come back to them because it has to be paid back. It's created through debt, right? So it doesn't matter if a Bill Gates gets, or an Elon Musk or whoever gets to be a billionaire. It doesn't matter. You're thinking, but they gave these guys billions. It's always a loan. There's more money owed than exists. That means every dollar out there is on loan. If you took every dollar in the country, every single penny, and gave it back to the Federal Reserve, sent it back to the creators of the money, you would still have a debt. That makes sense? You would not zero the books out. So this is why they can pay these people, whether it's a Hollywood celebrity or a Bill Gates or an Elon Musk or any of them. Bezos there. I was trying to say the Amazon guy. And when you ask, why this guy? Why did this guy suddenly become a billionaire? Why was he successful and other people that probably had the same idea weren't? Because they made the deal. They got picked. They weren't lucky to get picked. You may think they were lucky to get picked. They're not lucky. You don't want to be in that deal. That's why they're obsessed with transhumanism, because they made the deal and they don't want to pay the bill. The money is always going to come back to the creator, so they don't care. They will throw money at somebody if it furthers the agenda. This will go back to, and I'm not going to get any real preachy about it now, but you know, this goes back to understanding these things have to be understood in the context of the fundamental spiritual nature of the conflicts you see in the world. If you don't understand that, you'll never fully understand. You might understand certain things, yes, but you're not going to really understand the nitty-gritty of the why. At the end of the day, the why. Unless you understand the spiritual nature. You know? Why do these people always take their billions of dollars, all these billionaires, why do they always take their billions of dollars and they're obviously wanting to do evil with it? You know, when you hear about their, again, when a Bill Gates, and I'm kind of picking on Bill Gates today, but when a Bill Gates comes out and says, oh, we're going to, you know, we're working to provide 6 million vaccines, 666 million vaccines to people. Nobody wants to take that shit. They always doing, you know, and you assume they're doing something evil. And you think, why? Couldn't you just be like a benevolent billionaire? You know? Why not just be a chill dude like Lex Luthor? Instead, yo, Lex Luthor never wasn't making no plans to put out 666 million vaccines and people not trusting him. Why? Because that's part of the deal. That's what I'm saying. You don't understand. You'll never understand the fundamental, foundational basis of where this is coming from. Unless you understand that at its core, at its root cause, it is a spiritual battle. I mean, sorry, you're just not. You might be red-pilled on everything else, but you're still going to have these blanks. You're going to have these gaps where things don't make sense until you understand that there's a spiritual element to it. That's why these people are obsessed with transhumanism, because they don't want to pay the bill. The bill's coming due. They know it. They don't want to pay. Anyway, let's go ahead. We got to go ahead and get into the Christian specific segment. We got to keep this train a rolling. It's a few minutes early, but I usually tend to run a little long in the Christian specific segment. So you know what to do. Let's just keep this train going. You know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into the Christian specific segment. The sermon, if you would. this week on the Parish of the Patriots. Now, in my daily wanderings about on the internet, reading various things, I do come across various opinion pieces, articles, and whatnot, written from a Christian perspective. Multiple different denominations and viewpoints and stuff. And probably unsurprising to most of y'all, this usually makes my head explode. it makes my head explode. But I do, and I'll read, and once in a while, you know, because I don't want to sound arrogant, like I'm a know-it-all, because I wouldn't dare to pretend like I've got all the answers. But I once in a while, you come across one that's pretty good. But sadly, most of them are usually pretty bad. You know, and of course, with times being crazy, we got lots of pieces coming out regarding the end times. You know, I've said this before. I really wish most people just quit reading Revelation. I really do. I'm so sick. There are so many people that have no clue what they're talking about. No, and they're quoting Revelation left and right. If you've read Revelation, then you know we're seeing it play out right now. Don't get me wrong. I mean, yeah, we're definitely in crazy times. And yes, every day that goes by, we're closer to the return of Jesus Christ. I mean, yeah, I don't get me wrong on that. But people try to literally read these lines and apply everything to today because they don't understand the book. That's not what I'm getting off into today. But I mean, it is. You read these verses, and don't let me get started on how often I've had to read. I didn't have to, but I've read something, you know, and somebody's going, get ready. Get ready because the rapture is around the corner. I read a big long deal someone put up the other day about, you know, well, you know, the rapture is going to be any day now. So those of you, they're always, you ever notice the rapture people? They're always 100% confident that they themselves are going to get beamed up. You ever notice that? They're never like, if I'm still here, we're going to form a group. You know, they never have a strategy session. Like, you know, because you don't know what God's going to do. And they never be like, you know, okay, we need to get together. We need to form this rapture group. And we need to make a plan because all of us ain't going up. So when the rapture comes, if we get skipped, if we're some of the ones that get left here, we need to go ahead. We're going to meet at this place. You know, we're stockpiling food and whatever we need to do to get ready to survive the tribulation after the rapture. They don't ever do that because every one of these rapture people are always 100%. They're getting raptured. I can't wait to be raptured. I'm going to be raptured. They're never like, I hope I'm going to get, they know they're the ones that are going to get beamed up to the spaceship Jesus. They're going to get beamed up. They're going to have to, they're not going to have to go through any of the really, really bad. It's getting bad now. That's how we know. You see, that's always the reasoning. It's getting bad. So this is how we know that any day now we get our free pass stamped and we get to leave. I wonder how they would feel if the rapture existed. It doesn't. That's why I'm making fun of the concept. I mean, I'm always open. Don't get me wrong. I'm always open to understanding other viewpoints and considering them. You know, I am. I believe that anything, whether it's, you know, the way you view how the world works, your religious beliefs, a lot of times those two very much are kind of the same thing. Whatever the case may be, I think a person, whatever you believe, you ought to be able to look at it yourself, challenge those things, read other people's opinions, see if they hold up, you know, and be open. If you're going to repent and you're going to grow as a person, you're going to have that ability to, you know, say, well, this viewpoint that I have had for maybe years is incorrect. And now I've got to jettison it because now I've gotten some more truth and I have to replace that. You know, at the same time, when you look at something and from every angle or whatever, study it and however you look at it and it's garbage, it's just a nonsensical thing, then yeah, I don't need to keep considering it. You know, yeah, I've looked at that. I've considered that. I've heard about it more or less my whole life and it's bullshit. There is no rapture. That's one of those things I say very few things. You know, like I say, I try to have an open mind. But that's one of those things. I can tell you 100%. If you're a rapture believing person, you know, hey, you do you. I'm not your boss. But from I'm just telling you from where I'm sitting, it's not a thing. Don't be sitting around putting your hope in it because you're going to be disappointed when that don't ever come about. But I do. I always find it funny that the rapture people are always 100%, you know, because they'll tell you, if you ask one of these people, that's what I say, you got to be willing to hear people out, read their material, you know, see where they're coming from and see if there's any truth to it. And once you've done that, if there isn't, then you can jettison those ideas. But if you talk to a rapture person, you know, they'll tell you, so you because you'll be like, well, is every believer then going to be raptured? So there's not going to be anybody left here on the world, but the wicked. And they'll tell you, no, only the select. A select few are going to be ruptured. I always want to say ruptured. They're going to be raptured. They're going to get to leave and be with Jesus. Everybody else left behind to tough it out. Yes, there's going to be believers here left behind to tough it out. And it's never them. They're always like, well, I ain't going to be me, though. I'm the elect few. Really, what have you done that's so special? What do you got to do to be in the special rapture club? You know, because sounds great. Things are bad now. Things fixing to get even worse. But don't worry. Would you like a free pass to skip all the bullshit? We've got one. Yeah, it sounds like something an Indian scammer would call you up, you know. Sir, I've got something I'm going to sell you, sir. Would you like to skip the very bad times coming, sir? Free tickets to the rapture. All you have to do is donate $35 right now and give me your bank account information, sir. These people be jumping on board. Special few going to get raptured. Not everybody, not even every believer, but a select few. And every single one of these people think they're the select few. What is it you do? Why are you so special? You can see why this is a self-serving and self-centered fallacy, viewpoint, heresy, however you want to call it. It, once again, you're the center of the world. Jesus is going to pick out a special handful of people. And I'm one of them, buddy. They driving around bumper stickers, you know, in case of rapture, driver may disappear. You can have the car in the rapture. Because I'm one of the special ones. What'd you have to do? What have you been doing that is so darn special that Jesus is going to pick you to skip all of the BS? They can't tell you. Vast majority of virtually everybody I've ever met that believed in this nonsense, they were beyond average. And again, I'm not being insulting here, but they beyond average. You know, they're like, I don't know of you accomplishing any great spiritual works. What have you done? I'm going to be one of the special ones. I'm getting raptured. Just, you know, it's arrogant and self-serving. It really is. It's the height of it's just the height of the world revolves around me by mind point. Just a pinpoint on this. You look at the early church, the apostles that promoted the early church. The vast majority of them, they did these things. They did miracles. They traveled on foot, walked who knows how many miles, did all of these things to fulfill God's work that he had set forth to start the church. To start putting this new covenant into motion, to spread the word so people could fulfill what God had intended for them. They did all of this work, and the majority of them faced death. Their reward on this earth at the end of it, you know, yes, they got to see their works bear fruit, but most of their lives ended in agonizing torture to death, executions. But you're so special, you're not going to have to go through anything ugly. You're going to get beamed up to be with Jesus. How does that make sense? If the early apostles didn't get a free pass, And they wound up facing horrific torture to death execution. But you're so special that when things get really bad, Jesus is going to give you an escape hatch. He's going to hand you a free ticket so you don't have to go through anything unpleasant. Isn't that nice? So special. Most of these people are just normie to the core. They hadn't faced any kind of persecution for the word of the truth. You know, they haven't stuck their neck out. They lived a normie life. And I'm not being insulting, but they are beyond average. And most people are. Again, I'm not being insulting here. What I'm saying is the arrogance and the self-centered mindset that you yourself, because every one of these people is always, they're going to be one of the ones. They are going to be one of the ones to get raptured. What have you done? Why are you so special? You know? All of these apostles that you read about in the Bible, they didn't get a free pass. They met a horrific end in this world. But you, Mr. Normie, going through your normal life, doing normal stuff, you know, attending an hour of church on Wednesday, on Sunday, and maybe going again on Wednesday, you yourself, you're so special that you get a free pass. I kind of got the rapture is one of those things. Y'all know me. It's one of those things that sets me off because it's such a silly thing. And I've been through the Bible. They ain't nothing. You ain't going to find nothing. It's a twisted reading. They take a couple of lines and stand on their head and hop up and down, whatever, to try to come up with that nonsense. Yeah, believe it or not, that wasn't even what I was going to get into today. But it's what I mean, though. I read these different things. This is me trying to reel things back in. I read an article recently, and you know, it had to do with judgment. Again, everybody's in this end times mindset. Understandably so. That's an understandable deal. We see what's going on, and you know, things are kind of falling into place, but we still don't know the day or the hour. We got to keep on doing what we got to do. But judgment is another one of those things. And I read this article by a Christian author about judgment. And you know, it was kind of typical what you expect. You know, basically, you're going to go to court. It's always a courtroom, I guess, because judgment makes you think of judge. So you got a judge there and then a prosecutor and all this. And you're going to go to court. But this person's article was a little bit different because you're going to get two hearings, according to this person. So you're going to get a hearing with Jesus in private. You get a private hearing with Jesus. Then you have to wait a while. And I found this funny because this person obviously has no concept that time doesn't apply in the eternal realm and where God exists in the kingdom of heaven. Time is not a thing. We exist in time. It's always a clue when somebody, I'd have to take what they say with a bit of a grain of salt, when they don't understand the concept that what we understand is time, where we live here, this limitation, part of the realm God created for us, doesn't exist in the kingdom of God. When you get that first sign that obviously they don't want to understand that, and they start applying a linear time to after you die, to the kingdom of God. But anyway, you get a personal hearing with Jesus, then you have to wait around a while. I don't know where you wait. You know, are you in a holding cell or are you just free to wander around the golden streets? I don't know. But you get a personal hearing with Jesus. And after your personal hearing with Jesus, then you basically wait around. There's a waiting room. I don't know. But after your personal hearing with Jesus, then when enough time has gone by, then you have your public hearing. You see, you have your court date shows up. Now, out of all of these people who apply linear time to the kingdom of God, you know, how long is it going to take for all of the billions of people that have lived, all of the vast swaths of humanity that have ever lived in the history of time from Adam on, because they all got to go through it, right? And since they're applying linear time to the kingdom of God, how long is it going to take? You know, you've been waiting around, you staring at the clock on the wall, and you take a peek out there wondering when you're going to come up, and you look up there, Moses is up there having his public hearing. And you're like, I'm going to be waiting. This is going to take a while. Can I get a bag of chips in here? Are there snacks? My gosh, imagine if they had one of those TVs playing up there. TVs in the waiting room that torture you. You know, you having to sit there and watch it. I guess you the only thing to be on the TV. It isn't like they're going to be CNN in heaven. Praise God. You look up on the TV. That way you can be sure and watch. You know, Moses is going through his public hearing right now. He did have that whole murder rap going for him. Going to take a little bit. As the White Knight says, most people aren't going to get this reference. So don't worry about it. It's just something funny. But as the White Knight would say, St. Peter be like the White Knight. And St. Peter be like, you boys going to be here a spell. Yeah, you're going to be here a while. Anyway, according to this person, after your public hearing or your private hearing with Jesus himself, then you get to wait around for a while. And then eventually you're going to get a public court date. And you're going to go through your public court judgment. Which amounts, from the way I understood what this person wrote, is a public humiliation ritual. Where all of your dirty laundry, everything you eat, every thought you ever had, everybody's going to see. You're going to be up there in court. And like, I guess there's going to be a big screen TV. Maybe even like, I don't know, IMAX. So the entire existence of anyone who ever lived and ever will live will be able to watch every horrible thing you've ever done, ever thought, will be right up there in living color and just vivid. You get to go through your public humiliation ritual. Now, it's okay, though, because when you get your private hearing with Jesus, he's going to tell you that you're okay. Don't worry. The outcome is already set. But you still got to go through the public humiliation. Got to go through the public humiliation ritual where everybody can watch what you've done. Thinking about it, this is yet another form of a self-centered view. You know, of a world revolves around me because I'm so important view, isn't it? And what I mean by that is, why would anyone else give a shit? Oh, I talked about applying linear time. You had to wait a while to get there. Yeah, you know, I would be like if me, I would be like, look, I don't care about what all these people have done. I really don't care. Can we just skip all of that? Because I don't care who these randos are. I don't care what sinful thoughts they had. I don't care how many times they did whatever. Honestly, don't even care which direction they're going here. I don't care. Can we skip all of this and move on? But you see, you're so important that everybody's sitting around waiting. Man, I've been waiting for this guy. I've been waiting to see what this person had going on, because I tell you what, they really thought they were hot stuff in the world. And now that we all dead and we on the public thing, I've been waiting for this guy. He's been on docket number, let me see here, 4,397,248,409. And I've been waiting. What's in that clicker, you know? You get a number. You know, like they used to have those things. I guess some places still have it. You know, where you pull off the little ticket and you look and it says your number 497,000, and you look up there and they're currently on number 200. You boys gonna be here a spell. You're so important, everybody's waiting to hear your dirty laundry. No, no one gives a shit. I don't. You know, I don't. I don't care what other people have been thinking, doing, dealing with. That's their stuff to deal with. I deal with my own stuff. But here's what got me. As you know, I believe that what the essence of Jesus Christ, what the essence of what God has done with Jesus Christ is enable man to fulfill what God intended from the beginning. You have to go all the way back to Adam. Why did God bother? He had something in mind. Why did he create Adam, and why did it have to go? Why was it completed with the resurrection of Jesus Christ? You know, and that is so that we learn, understand, grow, and mature, and we're ready for the kingdom of God. What got me going about this and so many of these other articles and stuff, opinion piece, whatever, that I read, is I got to thinking about it after having read this. I was sitting around kind of chuckling to myself about it and shaking my head. But then I got to thinking, and it did. It kind of upset me. I had a bit of a moment of righteous indignation. Because I got to thinking, you have people, you have all these people out here. And you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior unless you really wanting to do something. You know, it's got to mean something. Most people just bumble through their lives and don't bother. Somebody taking the step to go to somebody in perceived authority or with perceived knowledge and say, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. They've made a conscious decision. They're trying to attain something. They're trying to better themselves. They're trying to get closer to God. And you have to respect that. And I got to thinking, how many clueless teachers, preachers, priests, whatever, church leaders are out there? It's kind of scary. Somebody goes, I had an experience recently. I was talking to somebody IRL. I say recently, it's been several months ago. But I was talking to somebody IRL, and this person was telling me they were somewhat confounded by a biblical question. They were telling me that they had gone to their preacher and asked them about this biblical question. And the preacher, instead of just saying, I don't know, because nobody, you know, I understand it. You know, people ask me questions, and there's been times I too have dropped the ball. I confess that. I've dropped the ball. Somebody has asked me a question, and I feel obligated to answer, but I should have said, I don't know. I've tried to better myself, and I've become aware of that. So that if somebody writes me in or whatever and asks me a question, if I don't know, I just say, I don't know. Because you don't want to be giving people the wrong answer. That's something to keep me awake at night. Because I don't want to, in my pride, answer something just pulling it out of my ass and not be right and derailing their walk. It's better just say, man, I don't know. Anyway, getting off on a tangent I don't want to get off on. This person had asked their preacher for this answer. And they were upset because the preacher basically mumbled around something, and it was obvious that he didn't really know. And I was like, well, what's the question? And they told me, and it was something really simple. Something that I don't even remember what it is. But it was something, you know, every one of you know, we've talked about it here on this show. And I mean, I just kind of laughed, and I was like, well, I got the answer. And they're like, what do you mean? No, I got the answer. Do you want the answer or no? I don't like giving stuff out if people don't want to hear it. But it was a really basic answer. My point being is, how many people are out there trying to seek God, trying to grow, trying to fulfill? Again, if you make the effort to come to Jesus Christ and tell somebody, look, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. This shows that they have a motivation. They are wanting to move closer to God on some level or another. How many of them, or is it even the majority of them? I don't know. Or running, or they're winding up telling somebody that really doesn't have a clue themselves. You can't help but think about Jesus' warning about blind guides who just lead somebody off into a ditch because they themselves don't have a clue. You got somebody say, hey, I don't have a clue. I want to know, Jesus, what am I supposed to be doing? And they're like, come follow me. They have no idea either. And they both fall off into a ditch. We're saved by faith. Will you say by faith? If you say that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you accept him by faith, then you are saved and you are guaranteed a spot. Now, I don't know if you're going to get raptured, but you got you a spot. I wonder how many of these people, maybe they're afraid to ask, but I wonder how many of them think to themselves, yeah, but what's faith? What does that even mean? For the vast majority of people, I think faith was probably defined as some sort of emotional state. Confidence. You know, you have to have confidence. You can't see it, but you just got to steel yourself and be like, he said it. It's going to happen. It's not defined. Or it's defined as vaguely as some sort of emotional state of mind to where You tamp down your fears and anxiety and you just have confidence that you're saved. Instead of telling them, well, this is what it means to walk in faith. You're going to spend your days, you're going to spend as much time, you know, allot yourself as much time as you can, you know, read your Bible, pray, seek God's wisdom, seek his understanding. Constantly, you're constantly looking at yourself. And trying to understand, you know, why you've sinned, why you do the sins you do, getting rid of your justifications you've made up along the lines, stripping all of that away and getting to who you are so that you grow and become closer to God so that you are a mature spiritual being ready for the kingdom of God. There you go. I said this so many times, accepting Jesus Christ is not a ritual. It's not something you simply say, and there you say, because it says in the Bible, you walk by faith. The problem is nobody defines faith. Just, well, if you believe it, then you're fine. Well, if you believe it, what did Jesus say? If you believe it, you will do it. Jesus said, if you believe me, then you will do what I've told you to do. Right? So what's the flip side of that? If you don't actually believe it, then you're going to go about your life. And yet I would be willing to bet for the vast majority of people, they get basically told a message that you just accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and go about your life like you always have. But now you're saved. I was thinking about that. It would be like, you know, and this is a failure on the part of a church leader, preacher, teacher, whatever you want to say. And it's a scary one. It's one of those things. You know, we have these discussions and I do my best. I really do to just share things, insights that I've found, you know, reaching for God with y'all. I don't have a super high viewpoint of myself. In fact, most of what we go over here, I find it to be pretty basic. I have a humble view of this. But one of the things I find frightening is the idea that you might accidentally lead somebody astray with the wrong idea. And yet most people, they seek God out and they're going to run into somebody that essentially, for all practical purposes, for all intents and purposes, what they're telling them is, as long as you go through the ritual of saying you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're done. Just go on about your life now. Now you're good to go. Instead of telling them honestly what they need to be doing. And I was thinking, this would be like if you were appointed, if you were the owner, if there was an owner of a company and you're his hire, you're like his number two, you're his one of his managers. And you're supposed to go out and hire a bunch of people to do a job. So you just go out and start hiring people. You hire 1,000 guys. You hire 1,000 men, but you never tell them what their job is. You just hired them. You know, the boss man, the owner of the company told you, hey, you need to hire 1,000 men so we can get ABC done out here. So we can get this department going. We got to get this assembly, whatever your job, whatever you want to visualize it as. I want you to get out there, hire 1,000 men because we've got to complete this task. And you go out and it's like you only heard the 1,000 men part. You hire 1,000 guys. And you never tell them what to do. They're standing around. They come into work. They clock in. And they go sit down, smoke a cigarette, talk about the game, and no one ever actually does anything. And then one day the owner of the company comes back and sees this, and he's like, dude, nothing's getting done here. What are you doing? You being the manager, and you're like, well, you told me to hire 1,000 guys. And I did. And you're looking at the 1,000 guys. You walk over there. You're the owner of the company. And you walk over there, and you're like, you walk up to these guys. You're like, why aren't you doing anything? Why are you all just sitting around shooting the bull? Nobody's even sweeping the floor. What are you all doing? And because you think they're lazy workers. And they look at you and they say, man, dude, I've been working here for 6 months. They hired me. And I'm still waiting for someone to tell me what the job is. They just hired me. They said the pay was good. And to come in on this day, I came in on this day. I filled out all the employment paperwork, signed up for benefits. I've been here 6 months. No one's told me what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't even know what we're building. I don't know what the job is. Am I a janitor? Am I a welder? What am I doing? I no one's told me what the job is. So you got all these people hired, and they're all standing around because ain't no one told them what they're supposed to be doing. The owner of the company ain't going to be mad at the wages. He can be mad at the manager who didn't bother telling anybody what they're supposed to do. He just went and hired a bunch of bodies. And yet, the average person, they're going to get told, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you say those words, go about your life. What do I do then? Go about your life. Put something in the offering plate. I don't know. Go stand in the corner. Talk about the game yesterday. Whatever. Because you're saved. Just have faith. What does that mean? What does it mean to have faith? To walk in faith with Jesus? What does it mean? Walk in faith implies I'm moving around. I'm doing something. Anyway, my righteous indignation came at the idea of thinking about considering how many people want something of a spark in their soul wants to get closer to God. And they can't find it. They just need somebody to tell them what to do, what they're supposed to be doing. And like I say, this isn't, please don't misconstrue this in any way, shape, or form as me being arrogant. Like, I got all the answers. Like I say, this stuff is basic. I mean, we're just doing basic stuff here, I think. And you got people that literally do this for a living. Like, that's their full-time job. Preacher Bob or whatever. And they don't know. They themselves don't know the answer. And they basically tell people, well, you said the words, you're good to go. You have the answers. If you run into it, look, I don't know. The way this works a lot of times is you will get opportunities to come up and you know, you might have somebody come up and basically come at you like, are you a Christian believer? Yeah. And I'm trying my best with this, but you know, I'm trying to walk in faith. And you might have the opportunity to say, well, you know, what do you think that means? Well, I have confidence I'm saved because of Jesus Christ. Yeah, but what are you doing? And I can guarantee you, more than likely, they're going to look at you with a blank look. Doing? I'm supposed to be doing something? Yes, you're supposed to be doing something. Nobody told you? You might have the opportunity. And this is why I think it's important that we have these discussions, because you might have the opportunity to then tell somebody, explain to them what they're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be growing as a person. You're supposed to be looking at yourself. And this brings me back to the judgment thing. We need to wrap up. You know, it's my belief that what we are doing in this life through Jesus Christ, what he made possible for us to do, is essentially spreading judgment out over our entire lifetimes. We are going through judgment. You are constantly looking at yourself, trying to understand the truth of what you do, good and bad, your motivations, good and bad, constantly looking, refining. This is judgment. And then when you get to the end and you're forced to face yourself for what you are, who you are, your motivations, no justifications, no lies, no BS. It's not going to be a shocking thing. You've already been doing that. I always say God doesn't waste his time. If you've already done it, it's not going to make you do it again. You've already gone through judgment, or most of it. I mean, we're always going to still have some stuff we haven't finished working through. And yeah, you'll see that for what it is. Not in the form of some public humiliation ritual, but you will suddenly be faced with yourself in the truth. No lies. But if you've worked through 90% of it, that 10% is going to be a whole lot less shocking than if you just let it through your life and now all of a sudden you're at 0% and you're faced with a 100% truth of who you are, what you've done, your motivation, all of it. This is going to be shocking. Might break you even. Yeah, the point is you might have the opportunity. Somebody might say, and you'll have the answer. You're just like, but this is simple. I got an answer. You might be supposed to be doing something. Yeah, let me tell you what you're supposed to be doing. God has a plan. Anyway, we got to wrap up. I just got really wet. The thought of how many people might be trying to seek the Lord and they just running into blind guides, man. They're blind, running into blind guides. That's why you just got, you know, it's kind of like a reality you have to face. You look at like the Hawaii fires and different disasters, floods, whatever. And if you've looked at any of these things, yes, this is relevant. Stay with me. If you look at these things, you have to come to the conclusion that if you were ever in a scenario like that, you do what you got to do. You take care of you and your family because the government is not going to help. If anything, they're going to get in your way. When I had the Hawaii fires, the cops were blocking the escape route because they said, well, it could be dangerous. And the people that just ignored the cops drove around the barricades and went on down the road. 20 minutes later, they were safe in the next town. The people that obediently sat in line burned to death. If you're in a disaster, understand, you're going to be responsible for yourself. Make your decisions. Don't, if anything, the government is either going to, if you're lucky, the government will be absent. If you're unlucky, they'll be there and they'll be getting in the way. And sadly, I it seems like that a lot of that is true with faith. You know, you're going to have to be responsible for your own faith. You're going to have to get in your Bible. You're going to have to pray to God. You're going to have to seek Jesus Christ out and try to come to understand the Lord. Because so many of these preachers and teachers, and again, I don't say this from an arrogant point of view, but just from observable reality, they don't have a clue. They're just going to lead you off into a ditch. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you got something out of the show, specifically the Christian-specific segment. Appreciate you stopping by. Dr. Johnson will be here tomorrow with his Orthodox Nationalist. He'll wrap us up on Thursday with his Daily Nationalist show. So hope you'll check all of that out. Hope the rest of your week and weekend goes great. And, of course, as always, I hope to see you here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.